Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams each and every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the great game of baseball, including your Atlanta Braves over at TomahawkTake.com. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. Make sure you subscribe to us here on YouTube, and make sure that you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. Do appreciate all the support you've been giving me since taking over the podcast. Do really appreciate it. Also, thank you for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day as you're on your way to work or you're exercising, whatever you may be doing. Appreciate you listening into the podcast each and every day. And just as a reminder, we post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Getting into this Tuesday edition of Locked On Braves, like I said, we have a lot of news to get to with the Marcell Ozuna situation finally coming to a resolution, albeit one that I'm not particularly happy with, but we'll get into all of that. And also the Braves signing Kirby Yates, and then a lot of other big moves happening across the league. So we got a ton to talk about here on the podcast today, but no news bigger than the Marcell Ozuna news, at least when it comes to the Atlanta Braves, in my mind. And Major League Baseball has apparently concluded their investigation into the domestic violence case against Marcell Ozuna, and they decided that the punishment was going to be to retroactively suspend him 20 games. So he's been on administrative leave since September 10th, so that would cover the 20-game suspensions that the league has given him. So that means Marcell Ozuna is eligible to play for the Braves immediately. He is not suspended. He is, at the moment, not injured. So if the season were today, the Braves would have to put him on their active roster or either cut him. We're going to get into, you know, some of the options. But as of right now, Marcell Ozuna is an Atlanta Brave, and he is eligible to play. That is not how I thought this would play out. I don't think it's how anyone thought it would play out. I thought, best case scenario, he would be suspended for all of 2022, and the Braves would be able to not have to pay him the $16 million that he's owed in 2022, and then that would make it a little bit easier to eat the rest of that contract. Still a lot of money, with him set to make $18 million in 2023 and $18 million in 2024, and then with a buyout as well. So, again, not what I was hoping for here. Certainly not happy with the league's decision. That being said, you know, I don't have all the specifics of what went down and what the situation was. You know, MLB apparently has done, you know, their investigative research and looked at all the reports, and this is what they came up with. You know, in my mind, he broke the rule, he broke the law. You know, whatever the case may be, whatever the extent of that was, I just don't understand how the league suspends one player for 162 games for breaking this domestic violence rule, how they can suspend a player 60 games and then suspend another player 20 games. I mean, either you broke the rule or you didn't. But, you know, that's what Major League Baseball decided. That's where we're at right now with the situation. And he's eligible to play immediately. I mean, he is a part of the Braves. Now, what this means going forward, you know, the only really good thing for me that comes out of this is that the Braves at least have, you know, certainty, cost certainty. They know what they're going to owe Marcell Ozuna. They know what they have to spend this offseason. They have some clarity on this situation as far as, you know, will Ozuna be eligible? Will they have to pay him? We now know that, and we have clarity on that. And I think some of the offseason holdup has partially been because of that. Now, what do the Braves do with Marcell Ozuna? I mean, you essentially have three options here. You either play him, trade him, or cut them. The Braves aren't going to cut them. I mean, this is a team that, you know, has been somewhat strapped for cash. Maybe not exactly, you know, what we want to believe, but they are at least saying they're strapped for cash, even though I think they have enough to spend here. But regardless, I just don't see them eating $53 million, which is what they still owe Marcell Ozuna. I don't see them doing that. It's hard for me to imagine him playing for the Braves again when this happened, you know, albeit maybe the reports of the incident weren't as bad as initially thought. Again, to me, you lay your hands on a woman, I can't get on board with that. So in my mind, I'll never cheer for Marcell Ozuna again, as long as he's part of the Braves. I mean, I'm all for second chances and all of that, you know, and apparently he's getting, you know, the help that he needs to deal with, you know, the anger issues or whatever's going on there. So certainly, you know, hope the best for him and his wife going forward. But I can't support him as an Atlanta Braves fan. You know, if he wants to get a fresh start, you know, with another team, all for that. For me, the best option here is to trade him. So now you have to find a team that's, you know, willing to take that on and willing to play him and perhaps take that PR hit that it would be. And, you know, you can't look for much in return here. I mean, this is essentially going to have to be a salary dump. But I do think that is the, you know, best scenario here for the Braves is to trade him. I can't imagine him going back into that clubhouse. I mean, that clubhouse, and I don't have inside access there. I can't say for certainty, but it definitely seemed like that clubhouse was torn apart when Marcell Ozuna left, and everybody was kind of shocked by the situation and what happened. I mean, there was a clubhouse culture problem once Ozuna left, and it was pretty evident. I mean, you know, the selfies, the stir it up thing. I mean, that all came from Ozuna. A lot of the antics, the fun, the activities that they had were around Ozuna. And then when this happened, I mean, that all stopped, you know, immediately. And so I think that, you know, put a really big damper on the clubhouse. And so do you just thrust him back in there? And then how do the other players feel about having him back in there? And that's more so why I don't think you can have him play for the Braves again, because I just don't know how that goes over in the clubhouse. And, you know, you put him on another team, a fresh start, somebody who doesn't have that history with him, you know, it seems to go a lot better, a lot smoother. I just worry about the dynamic of the clubhouse. You put him back in there after what happened, you know, him not being with the team, you know, obviously, and because of his decision, you know, kind of left the team in a bad place. It ended up working out great because the players they got to replace him were amazing and, you know, obviously led to a World Series. But I just worry about putting that, you know, back in to the clubhouse around the players that, you know, essentially abandoned because of his bad decision making and left a huge hole, you know, in the clubhouse. So I don't know. The Braves are in a very difficult spot here. Major League Baseball did them no favors by giving him such a small punishment. You know, not only will the Braves have to cover, you know, $53 million over the next 3 years with this contract, which, again, the Braves gave him. You know, obviously they didn't know what would happen as far as the off-the-field stuff, but the Braves gave him this deal. I didn't necessarily love it when it happened, but the Braves guaranteed him this money. They're going to have to pay it. There's no way to get around it at this point unless they can find somebody who was willing to trade for him. And again, it's not like it would be a trade where you would be looking for much in return. It would essentially be a salary dump. You may even have to pay some of that money. But we do have resolution. We do now know what is going to happen with Marcell Ozuna, at least as far as legality-wise, as far as what the league is going to do to him. We do now have that clarity. So that is the one good thing that comes out of this in my mind. So, you know, you may feel differently, and I understand that, but just as far as my opinion on the matter, I don't love it. I don't love that the suspension was so short. I don't love that the Braves are in a difficult spot now. as far as what to do with him, and I certainly don't love the idea of him putting on a Braves uniform again. All right, next we're going to take a look at the Kirby Yates signing and then look at some other signings from around the league. Before we do that, let me tell you about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered for all the season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before with football season continues and the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one sport for all the action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available to you, and don't wait to get in on the action. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package. So the Braves did join the free agent frenzy on Monday, albeit not anything major and not the Freddie Freeman news that we were hoping for. But, I mean, this is a pretty significant deal with them signing relief pitcher Kirby Yates to a two-year deal worth $8.25 million. It is backloaded. He's only set to make $1 million in 2022, kind of opening up that 2022 payroll there. He'll make $6 million in 2023, and then he has a $5.7 million team option for 2025 with a $1.25 million buyout. So $8.25 million guaranteed for the 34-year-old Kirby Yates, who has been one of the better closers, at least, you know, in 2018, 2019 in all of baseball. He led Major League Baseball in saves in 2019 with 41 and a 1.19 ERA, but he's only thrown 4.1 innings since then. Had some elbow issues in 2020, ended up needing Tommy John surgery last March. That's part of why I believe he's only going to get paid $1 million in 2022. You know, not only are the Braves trying to, you know, crunch down the budget for 2022, especially now that Marcell Ozuna is on the books officially, but he's also not going to be, Kirby Yates will not be prepared to start the beginning of the season, most likely, with the Atlanta Braves. Could even be, you know, a couple of months into the season before we see him come back. So only making $1 million in the first year of this deal, and that money will be backloaded after he had Tommy John surgery last March. As far as what Kirby Yates features, throws a fastball and splitter most of the time. Does have an occasional slider that he will throw, but mostly fastball, splitter, fastball. Averaged about 93.5 miles per hour back in 2019, so have to look and see how that plays out and if his velocity is still there. Splitter, 86.3 miles per hour. Batters hit just 153 against his splitter in 2019, and he had a 34.4% whiff rate on both of those pitches in 2019. So again, 18-19, one of the best closers in all of baseball, was headed towards a huge free agent deal before getting injured. He ended up signing a smaller deal with the Blue Jays last year, but then needed Tommy John surgery and never did throw a pitch for them. Unfortunate there, but Braves get a very good veteran reliever. Again, 34 years old, has a career ERA of 3.54 and 282 and a third innings pitch. So not a lot of innings on that arm. 400 strikeouts in those innings and a whip of 1.148. And that's after he had a slow start to his career, kind of a bit of a late bloomer, but some rough patches early on. But from 2017 to 2019, like I said, one of the best relievers in all of baseball. Over that span, a 2.40 ERA in 180.1 innings pitched with 279 strikeouts. That's a K per nine of only almost 14, which is just crazy. That's elite stuff right there. And a whip of 0.970. So this is a huge upside signing here by Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves. If Kirby Yates is able to come back from a second Tommy John surgery and be the pitcher that he was before, I mean, this is a massive upside deal. But for me, even with the money that they're paying him, you know, even if he is just a seventh, eighth inning guy, you know, I think this is still a very good signing. And I like the fact that Alex is going out and taking care of the bullpen this offseason. Again, some of the complaints in past offseasons is that, you know, he didn't go into this a season with a deep bullpen, and it's cost him games early on. So, you know, even as good as the bullpen was in the postseason and they were lights out, we all know bullpens can be finicky season to season. So having plenty of depth there is certainly what you want to see. You know, I've talked about it before, I would love to see Alex go out and continue to add depth to this bullpen to make sure that they go into the season with plenty of arms there that they can use. Because again, relievers are so hit or miss sometimes, and you just never really know what you're going to get from them year to year. So it's good to have a lot of depth to be able to have pitchers you can throw into a spot who are throwing well at a time that, you know, may not later in the year, and vice versa. Again, as was proof positive for the Braves last year. Bullpen wasn't very good early on, continued to get better, and then was lights out in the postseason once it all kind of came together. But you can't just sit back and hope that that's going to happen again, that the relievers we saw in the postseason that were so good are going to continue to be that dominant, you know, over the stretch of an entire season. So I love the move as an upside play. You know, somebody who has been a closer, has been one of the best closers in the league, you know, coming back from injury, you know, again, even if he is just a seventh, eighth inning kind of setup reliever type guy, I think this is a great signing for the Atlanta Braves. So I like the deal. That also just a much smaller deal. The Braves did bring back Darren O'Day, or shouldn't say bring back. He wasn't on the team this past season, but was with the Braves the year before that. But they brought back Darren O'Day on a minor league deal. Like that as well. Another veteran reliever. So I like the moves here by Alex to, you know, not be complacent in the bullpen and continue to add depth there. I love seeing that. Wouldn't mind adding another arm or two out there, but I do like this move, signing Kirby Yates, bringing back Darren O'Day, just continuing to, you know, make sure you go into the season with a solid bullpen and some solid arms that you can trust there. Although Yates probably won't be ready for the start of the season, but still, you keep piling on that depth in the bench or in the relievers, in the bullpen, or the arm pen, as PETA wants to call it. But so I like the move overall. I like the additions to the bullpen here. All right, taking a look at some deals around Major League Baseball, things continue to be crazy on Monday. Probably will still be crazy Tuesday morning, trying to get these deals done before the lockout. Biggest deal of the day, the Rangers signing Corey Seager to 10 years and $325 million. So the Dodgers lose out on Max Scherzer and Corey Seager now. Good move for the Rangers. Certainly love to see that for them. Hope that franchise, you know, gets to see more success here in the future. They certainly are going after it. They have spent $556 million over the past couple of days just on Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, and John Gray. So happy for those fans over there. Some big money being spent. I mentioned Scherzer. I think I teased it on Monday's podcast that it looked like he was going to the Mets, and that is the case. He got 3 years, $130 million from the Mets with an opt-out after the second year. Again, he gets this deal at 37 years old. Obviously, it's an NL East signing, so I want to get into it a little bit here. I think Max Scherzer kind of painted himself into a corner here, or backed himself into a corner, because he is a union rep and been very outspoken about, you know, there not being enough money thrown around in baseball, not enough money being spent by the owners. I just feel like he really wanted to play on the West Coast, but what the Mets offered him was nowhere close to what the Dodgers and Angels were willing to do. So it would really look hypocritical of him if he were to turn down that Mets offer in order to play where he probably prefers to play. So that's why I say he kind of backed himself into a corner here. This deal, as a Braves fan, doesn't scare me all that much. I mean, if Scherzer and DeGrom are healthy, this is a scary Mets team, and that's a scary 1-2 punch. But what are the chances both of them are going to be healthy? You know, maybe for at a time, but and maybe it clicks right at the end of the season, and they're both healthy at the end of the season, if they're into the postseason at that point. But I really worry about Scherzer's health, a lot of mileage on that arm. You know, think about what he's done in the regular season and in the postseason with the Nationals. Now the Dodgers, I mean, he basically got dead arm in the NLCS and couldn't come back out and pitch. So I, you know, he's had the back issues too. I worry about his health going forward. That deal would really frighten me as a Mets fan, although it seems like they're just throwing money out there anyway, so maybe it's not that big of a deal to them. But that move would worry me a little bit, paying a 37-year-old $43 million a year, somebody who's had some health issues over the last couple of seasons. The Mariners also, with a big deal, got Robbie Ray for 5 years and $115 million. It's just crazy. Robbie Ray was, you know, just basically given away by the Diamondbacks a couple of trade deadlines ago, and now, you know, he's a Cy Young winner and he's getting $115 million. This game is just absolutely crazy sometimes. And then the Pirates, another NL East move here. The Pirates trade Jacob Stallings to the Miami Marlins for prospects Zach Thompson, Kyle Nicholas, and Connor Scott. So the Marlins starting to make some smart under-the-radar type moves in order to try and compete. They got Avisel Garcia, add some power in the outfield. Now they get Jacob Stallings to kind of help nurture that young Miami Marlins pitching staff there. So I like that move as well. A very good move from the Marlins, who, you know, played the Braves tough and will continue to do so as they continue to get better with those young prospects coming up. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. You can follow me at @ShortstopBall. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.